It's Gardening Talk back on 2NUR FM 103.7. Greg Richard joined by Judy Sharp. We've got Beth from Mount Hutton, and she's got a question about hibiscus.
Hello, yes. Beth. What can I help you with?
Good afternoon, Greg and Judy. Absolutely love the show first.
Oh, really? Even though Greg works with me?
No, I just love it. You're just great, both of you. Absolutely crack up.
Sorry, Greg, I couldn't resist that.
Fair enough.
Makes my day. Anyway, getting on to plants.
Yep.
I've got something to share with you that's really amazing this week, and it's my hibiscus. Now, I've put a lot of love and care into it. It's a yellow one with a red centre.
Right.
I had a lot of ants and aphids and the works in it, and I treated it with pyrethidone or something like this. It's for aphids and ants and everything, the spray. Anyway, I come down to the garden yesterday morning, and lo and behold, there's a pink hibiscus on the yellow one, on the yellow bush.
Fair dinkum. That's amazing. Now, tell me, Beth, was that a Hawaiian hibiscus?
Yes. Yes.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah, well, sometimes they're grafted. I wonder if that's...
Yeah, that's the word. That's the word. I heard that, that someone said that if they get grafted, they can come in a different other colour or something.
Yeah, that's what could have happened.
Oh, but it's absolutely beautiful. I couldn't believe my eyes.
Oh, well, okay. You don't want to cut it out then?
No.
Oh, okay. Rightio.
I don't even want to take it off the bush and put it in the... in a vase. I just want to admire it.
Oh, that's lovely.
And I don't know if I'm going to get another pink one. Do you think I'll get another one on there with the yellow one?
Look, can you just roughly describe to me how far away is the pink from the yellow? Is it on a totally different part of the trunk?
Yeah, it's on a different branch, of course.
Right, okay, yeah.
But the other ones are all yellow and red-scented. And it was just so gorgeous. I just wanted to share it with you guys.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's lovely. And look, Beth, keep your fingers crossed. Yes. Seeing it's on a different branch, I think, you know, you might be lucky.
To get another one.
You might get another one. But you know what I'd be doing? I'd be using some sulphate of potash.
Okay.
To promote the flowering and see if you can encourage the pink one.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. It was just so beautiful to see it there with the yellow one.
Oh, that's lovely. Yes. A nice start for our program today, Greg.
Okay. Have a lovely day.
Thank you, Beth, for the call. Bye.
Bye now.
Cheers, Beth. Thank you. We've got Robin now from Karua. And, well, we've gone from nice flowers to grubs.
Oh, right. Okay.
Hello, Judy. Yes, hello to you and also to Greg. I had a really, really good natural remedy to get rid of curl grubs. But I'm getting a bit older in age and I can't remember what it was.
Oh.
It's for my granddaughter.
Oh, darling, look, we were just talking about that. The remedy for curl grubs is watering carbaryl through the soil.
Carbaryl.
But, you know, I hesitate a little bit because I heard a rumour that it was going off the market, but I don't think it has yet.
Oh, what I put up, I'm sure it was white powdery sort of stuff that I used to use years ago.
Well, carbaryl is a white powder.
Oh, right. Okay, well, that answers my question.
Yeah, so see if you can buy some carbaryl and quickly before someone eliminates it from us.
Good. All right. And one quick one. I've got a begonia now. I know there's heaps of different kinds, but this is a tall one with red flowers. I want to strike it. Just cut a bit off. Do I plant it straight away or bash the stem before I plant it or put it in water?
Oh, I don't think I'd bash it.
I do that with other plants. It always works.
Well, you could do one bash and one not bash.
How would
that be, Robin?
I only want the one.
Well, look, you've got a few cuttings on that plant, haven't you? It's fair size.
Yeah.
Look, I'd take a few cuttings, particularly now when we're going in the downtime into the colder weather.
Yeah.
You know, it probably is something you should have done in spring, but take a few cuttings and have a go.
All right, will do.
Okay.
I planted them or put them in water. Both.
Oh, that's what I mean. You can experiment, you know, take a couple and even bash one, flatten one.
Do that with, is it hydrangeas? bash the bottom.
Oh, right, okay.
And
see,
then plant them, it works every time.
Yeah, because hydrangeas are fairly woody stems, whereas
right.
your begonia, it'll be soft.
Okay, so don't bash it.
I don't think I'd bash it.
Okay. All right, darling. Enjoy the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Bye.
Bye.
And we've got Tony from Raymond Terrace, and he's got something about carparel as well. Tony.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, Graham. Beautiful. Thank you. I used carparel for a couple of reasons. I grabbed it out of a pest controller's handbook, and out of the pest controller's handbook, it was listed as being the lowest in danger of dermal entry. So I thought, well, that's the one I don't want to absorb it myself while I'm spraying it on my vegetables. So I used to use it on silver beet, the big four-hook giant silver beet. So I'd wait till the first grubs appeared, and then I'd whack it, and because it only lasts 24 hours before it washes off in rain or whatever. So and it effectively gave me a good crop there. But then I then noticed on another chemical container from hate to give them the plug, but one of the pest control companies, and it was the main ingredient in flea powder for dogs. So the last little bit remaining in my spray tank, I used to pick up the hold the dogs and give them a spray with that to, so it was very diluted and it killed all the fleas as well.
Oh, Tony, that's really interesting, but I'm not going to put that on my Arthur. He's only a very little doggy, and I'd be worried about it. But, Tony, have you bought it recently, the carparel?
No, not recently.
Yeah, well, it's a rumour I've heard going around that it's going to be eliminated, so I don't know why, because, as you said, it, you know, it's fairly safe, but maybe that's just talk in the industry.
Who knows? It was a Yates product I bought, so, you know, but then... Now, years ago, you could buy a whole heap of nightmare chemicals that they said were great at the time.
Well, that's right, yes. But, you know, we do need carparel for several things. And but anyway, we'll just wait and see. At the moment, I think it's still available, so I don't want to say too much and promote everyone's interest in it. But you might go and check it out anyway, seeing you use it on the dog as well.
Very diluted.
Okay, thank you for the call, Tony. We appreciate it.
Thanks, all the best.
Bye.
I'm glad he said very diluted.
yes, he did say very diluted, yep.
Judy Sharp, top of the hour, we mentioned a couple of, we've got a lot of topics today.
We have, yeah, because we're on a change of season, aren't we?
Oh, well, yeah, pretty much now. We're right in we're almost right in the thick of autumn.
We are, yeah.
And you mentioned poppies at the top.
Yep.
Are we planting them, or are they in flower, or?
No.
Neither.
No. When do you plant poppies?
Anzac Day.
Ta-da! Greg, that's wonderful.
I think
you're
it's only
right.
taken me 5 years to remember that, but.
Okay, so it's coming up, isn't it?
Yep.
So it's time just to get your soil ready,
mm-hmm.
and what poppies really like is poultry manure.
Right.
So if you're cleaning out your annuals, the summer annuals will be finishing soon.
Mm-hmm.
We've had so much rain the last week or so. And once you dig them out, the winter annuals, like e.g. poppies, they like poultry manure in the soil. So if you want to prepare your beds ready to plant poppies on...
Anzac Day.
Very good. We will now put poultry manure in. And clean out the bed, dig it in, don't plant till Anzac Day, but the soil will be mulched by the poultry manure and you'll have beautiful poppies.
Right. We don't have to actually plant on Anzac Day, though. We can do it around it.
No, day before, day after, it's a tradition.
Day of, all right.
It's a tradition, and I'll just briefly mention, because you're too young to know, but there was a gentleman that lived at New Lambton Heights and he grew poppies called Spring Song.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lineup to his house every day on Anzac Day. That's how traditionalist people are planting poppies. And it would go for miles and miles and miles. And you had to walk the road to get his Spring Song poppies. And when he passed away, or passed on to another world, went across the Rainbow Bridge, his family didn't keep Springsong going.
Oh. Mm. That's sadly. A bit of a shame.
It was. They're huge.
Well, you would have thought they might have kept that. Anyway.
Anyway, they
might
didn't.
Other reasons.
They didn't. They didn't. But, well, there's a lot to do with Springsong poppies. You've got to get up before dawn and tie elastic band around the poppies, the colours you want to preserve, so the bees don't cross-pollinate them.
Oh, okay. That's two ideas. That reminds me of a bit too hard basket when I started to do it. Now, Judy, we had a call about Curl Grub a bit earlier, and I was kind of just remembering there was that green washing detergent.
Oh, Fairy.
Yeah.
Fairy, yeah.
Was that the get rid of, I can't remember if that was a get rid of Curl Grub or it was a get rid of something.
It was a nice gentleman from New Lambton. I think his name was Keith.
That's right, yeah.
He might be listening.
He might know what it was. Well, hopefully he knows what it was for.
Well, you know, we do keep very, very thorough notes about this program, but...
And Ellie just popped in my head then before, but...
Yeah, I think it might have been Curl Grub. So if Keith's listening, give us a ring, Keith.
And let us know what it's for.
Yeah, please.
Just a refresher.
Thank you.
We've got Maureen from New Lambton, and she's got some pruning advice about the Alamander.
Hello, Maureen.
How are you?
I'm very well, and yourself?
Good. It's great to hear your voice.
Thank you. And Maureen, have you got a shrub Alamander or a climber?
I think it's the climber. We moved on an old bird, and we moved in, downsized into a villa halfway through last year, and it was growing then.
Right.
And it was growing wild. We've got an outdoor extension piece at the back.
Yeah.
And it was growing one of the columns.
Right.
And I had to prune it back then. It wasn't in flower naturally because it was so wild. But look, it's come on this year. The flowers are magnificent.
And is it yellow?
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, right, okay. Because you do get other colours in Alamander climbers, but I always think the yellow is the best.
Alamander, I had one years ago.
Yeah. Does it get, sometimes it gets a fairly thick stem on it?
Yes,
oh,
yes.
No. Yep, that's an Alamander, but I don't think I'd be pruning it now, coming up to the cold weather.
No.
Right.
Okay, when it finishes flowering?
Oh, definitely. Oh, you always wait till it finishes flowering.
Yes.
And is it in a pot or in the ground?
It's in the ground. That's the problem. And the stem of it, I guarantee, is it, you know, looks about 2 inches thick.
Mm.
It looks as if it's been there for years. And I was going to cut it out, but it's too nice after I've seen it flower this year.
Yes, no, don't cut it out. I think you'd regret it, Maureen.
Yeah, so I just give it a good pruning.
Yep, and, you know, maybe... are you worried about what you're going to fertilise it with?
No, I'm up to date. Well, yes, you could give me an idea, but what I would like, something to support it.
Oh, right, OK.
Because it's growing around a column sort of thing.
Yeah.
And there's a chain, for what reason I don't know, it's coming up from the little roof down. And it wraps around that too, and it's the Alamander. It's growing around that, but it definitely needs some support when it comes back out again.
Right. Okay. Look, probably if you look for something that, how do I describe it, Greg? Some plastic that's plastic that you would. Come on, Greg. You're a gentleman. You know what I'm talking about. it's like a lattice. A lattice, Greg.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, like a lattice, a plastic lattice. And I think you can buy it by the metre.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
And then you would just wrap it around the pole. And, and you know, the Alamander's not going to actually get so heavy that it would wreck it, but I think if you did that, that might just ease your mind.
Okay, yes, look, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what I'm talking about, don't you now?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Thank you
Greg,
very much. Judith.
Greg doesn't. Greg doesn't. He only grows chilies.
But he's a male too, isn't he? Oh, sorry for the men out there.
Yes, he is, but he's young.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
is he
see?
Like devil?
Yeah.
anyway, getting back...
back to your Alamander.
Yes.
So what would you fertilise it with? You're going to ask me? Okay. Yeah. Look, I think Flourish, the liquid one for flowering.
Yes.
Flourish for flowering. I think it's wonderful.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
I'll do that when I cut it back.
Yes, after you cut it back.
All right. Thank you very much, Judy.
Thanks, Maureen. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And we've got Lance from Hawk's Nest, and he's got a young fig tree that's got curly at the moment.
Oh, hi, Lance.
G'day, Judy.
How are you going? Curl
tree.
Oh, curl leaf, that's a shame.
Is it? Right. Yeah. Because I don't know anything about figs.
Right.
It was put in just as a small graft. Look, it would have only been 8-10 inches high. And this summer, it's probably 12 months old, and this summer it's really shot on. And it's probably a metre and a half high.
Okay.
It's loaded with fruit, and but all the big leaves are all curled up.
Yeah, well, that's unusual because they're fairly strong leaves, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, they are. But, look, the only thing is it's fruiting, so I would be inclined to not spray it with anything while it's fruiting.
Okay.
And maybe you might find after it stops fruiting that the leaf curl might just be arrested.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but at the moment I wouldn't spray it with anything, but if you need to, you know, when it's still growing and still curling, give us a ring back and we'll talk about what different things you can use. But at the moment, I definitely think while it's fruiting, just enjoy the fruit.
Yes, yes. Well, it's thriving. I'm quite surprised on how quick it all fruited up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know anything about figs, but I assume, like other trees, fruit trees, 3 years, you know, before fruit come on. But
yeah, you said it was a graft, though, didn't you, from the beginning?
Yeah.
Yes, no, that's why. Yeah,
okay.
So you've done good buying, and now you benefit from the fruit, and... we'll check out that leaf curl in a few weeks' time after you've finished fruiting.
Rightio, Judy. Thanks very much.
That's okay,
now,
Lance.
Now, I also have something to tell you.
What's
I
that?
I used to work for you, 30 years ago.
Lance.
I only worked for you for a couple of months.
Right.
And I was poached by your brother, Bill.
My brother, Bill? I don't have a brother, Bill.
Oh, Bill Whalen.
Oh, Bill Whalen. No. Oh, right, okay, yeah, but Bill's not my brother.
Oh, I thought he was.
No, that's how he's poached you. He's claimed he was my brother.
Yes.
Well,
I worked for him for about 3.5 years then.
Oh.
I don't know how it happened. I was working for you, and he'd just come to a site or to the nursery or something or other.
I think he might have been picking up seedlings. We distributed for Oasis from Newport back then, yeah, and that's what's been happening, I'd say. Well, the cheeky man. Lance, I don't think he's still with us.
Ah, right. Okay. No, he was a lovely fellow, Bill.
Yeah, lovely. And a very well-known nursery family.
Yes.
Yes, they are. Okay, well.
I always remember your nursery was very cheerful too.
Oh, thank
he
you.
Lovely.
Did he offer you more money?
I think that might have been it. I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll expect to hear from you again, Lance, in a couple of weeks.
Okay, Judy. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. We've got Russell from Morissette, and he might have an answer for the green washing
for
detergent.
The stink bugs.
It's for the stink bugs.
Judy, it was for stink bugs on your citrus tree.
Oh, Russell, thank you. Honestly, I was pretty sure that's what it was, but I don't like to stick my neck out on them unless I'm positive. You know, Greg and I, we had so many calls about that green fairy, and we just...
scratching our heads trying to work out what it was for.
Scratching our heads, yeah. It was the stink bugs. Look, thank you very much for the call, Russell.
I tried it.
And did it work?
Oh, sort of. But I found to using the vacuum cleaner with a long pipe and a stoppie down the end of it to suck them off.
Oh, right, to suck them off. Oh, they're awful things, aren't they?
And then you just, when it fills up, you just pull it off and you put it in a bucket full of water.
Oh, well, that's a good way too. Yeah.
Eventually you get through.
Yeah, eventually. Okay. Look, thank you very much for that. We were just kind of, look, I don't know why Greg didn't remember it because he's so young, but anyway.
Well, I don't think that's got anything to do with it. Still got a bad memory.
Russell, thank you for the call. We really appreciate that.
So we've got Judy from Edgeworth, and she's got a question about the Daphne.
Hello, Judy. That's a coincidence, hello, isn't it? A Daphne and a Judy.
My Daphne, I always wanted one, and it is beautiful, and when it flowers, it's magnificent. But last year, I cut it back.
Oh, right.
And now it's just awful. It's just sprouted every which way.
Oh, Daphne, why did you prune it?
Because it's only in a small garden. I live in a unit.
Yeah, look, Daphne's are very, very touchy creatures.
I knew that and I was very careful.
Yeah. So did you cut it back very hard?
No. I just trimmed the ones that were hanging over the edge of the garden.
Right, okay. But
it's ugly now.
In doing that, you might have just disturbed the root system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, look, hang in, you know, because you'll have to wait now until spring for it to recover. But
it's got a lot of new growth.
Yeah, look, it might flower. It might flower again next time, but they are very, very touchy. You know, you can't even stake them up. If you tie a stake around it and pull it up, you know, they'll curl their leaves up and die, so.
Because the branches are just so heavy and just poking out in the wrong direction. So I put sticks in, but I haven't tied it.
No, that's good. That's good.
I just sort of put them in so that it would hold the branches up a bit.
Right, okay. Yeah, look, fingers crossed, Daphne. Sorry, fingers crossed, Judy. Judy has never grown a Daphne. I wouldn't experiment with one, but good luck with that, and I hope that it comes good for you, Daphne.
Oh, so do I.
Judy.
It smells so divine.
Oh, they're fabulous plants. They are a little bit tetchy. So everything crossed, and I'll keep my everything crossed for you, and we'll hear from you again once it's recovered.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, Judy, for the call. We appreciate it.
Bye.
Jeez, thanks, Judy. Yeah. Well, that's crossed a little bit there as well.
You were going to call me Daphne then.
I was, yeah.
You're a devil, Greg. You're a devil.
Well, Judy, we're just out of time for another week. A lot of topics we didn't manage to get through.
Mm.
Strawberry spring, well, everyone loves a strawberry.
Yeah, okay. We got a minute for that?
Oh, we've got less than 10 seconds.
Okay. It's time to divide them. Definitely divide them now, Greg, and plan out the runners in beds pre-mulched with cow manure.
All right, yeah. That's stuff to do before next week. Thank you very much, Judy Sharp.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.